to another mini episode of Untrue Crime, where fiction meets felonies. I'm Alex.
And I'm Belle. Today's episode includes content warnings for sexual harassment.
This is your fair warning that this podcast uses explicit language before someone walks in at the wrong time. As a last reminder, this episode includes content warnings for sexual harassment. Let's get this started, shall we?
We shall.
For today's mini episode, I'm going to be bringing us back to the case of Angus Keeler. Not his murder this time, though, just him. His life and actions led to what happened to him, and it's important to take a look at them to understand him. This will be a dive into the information surrounding Angus Keeler sourced from a page on websleuths.com, which is not the most reliable source, so please bear that in mind. Here's what has been garnered about Angus Keeler.
We at Untrue Crime would like to state there is no excuse or traumatic background for sexual assault or attempted sexual assault as a blanket statement, but it is still important to dive into the backgrounds of these characters. Thank you very much.
He was born in Cheyenne, Wyoming on March 7, 1998. His parents were Buffy and Roland Keeler. He started playing football when he was in the second grade. He roughhoused and didn't always get along with his teammates, but that's to be expected from an 8-year-old kid. Some people have pointed out that his teachers had said he was a difficult kid to look after because he wouldn't leave other kids alone. His first grade teacher said, quote, "Angus wasn't a bad kid, per se. I think he needed a lot of attention I couldn't provide, but when you have 20 students, you can't give your all to only one of them," end quote. It was hard for him to follow directions, and he didn't like doing his assignments. Again, though, he was a kid. This isn't unusual, and most children who face these challenges do not grow up to be criminals.
Can confirm. I did follow directions. I didn't like homework. I was really good at it. I just hated it.
I always did my homework as a kid, but I didn't enjoy it. There was an incident in middle school that I mentioned in the original episode that may raise more eyebrows, though. The bathroom peeping problem. In the 7th grade, Angus was caught standing on a toilet in the girls' bathroom and peeking over the walls of the stalls when girls sat down. A teacher entered after a girl had said that she saw a boy go in and caught him red-handed. He was suspended from school despite the excuses that his parents tried to make for him. He spent his suspension playing video games. After that, students from his school have said that he had a reputation as being a creep. Some of the boys patted him on the back, but none of the girls wanted to date him, and they called him emasculating names.
As they should.
As they should, absolutely, yeah.
No, I support these, well, they were girls at the time, but they're women now.
Yeah.
So.
Angus called this bullying.
It is not bullying. It's what you call fuck around and found out.
It's community retaliation for doing a bad deed.
It's not bullying if you deserve it. I mean, it's a little bit bullying, but not in this scenario. Like, if you did something,
it's worthy of it.
I punched someone, and then everyone for the rest of your life was like, "Oh, it's the puncher coming into the room." I couldn't figure anything out. I was the bullied, and like that's a case of like, okay. I went to therapy, man. You gotta get off my back. But sexually harassing women
consistently throughout your life and you're upset about this?
And then being harassed, not even harassed by women. We don't stand for sexual harassment.
No.
Is what I'm really trying to say here.
Yeah. His parents made regular attempts to complain to the school and get it fixed, but not much was done. They even tried to sue the school for neglecting Angus's needs, but it went nowhere. A babysitter said that she often looked after his brother, Dennis, when the Keelers went to meet with their lawyer. They usually brought Angus to their appointments to make sure he didn't feel bullied by them either. Dennis stayed home. When Angus got to high school, it seemed like people had largely forgotten about the drama of the 7th grade. Besides, the 3 middle schools of the district all fed into the high school, so there were a lot of new people who didn't know about his suspension. He made the football team and was good at it, attracting new, positive attention. He was handsome and popular, and people began to think of him as a player, not a creeper. His sophomore year of high school, something odd happened. On WebSleuths, a user claimed to have spoken to Mia Rizzo, a student at Angus's high school. Mia was a senior when Angus was a sophomore. She was friends with Dennis Keeler, also a senior at the time. In their senior year, Dennis was dating a girl named Zuri Moore. Zuri was a cheerleader who had a reputation for being the nice one. She volunteered at the local food pantry and tutored freshmen. Zuri and Dennis hadn't known each other a very long time. They met during their junior year, but they got along well and made a decent couple.
I love the name Zuri.
I love the name Zuri, too. It's a good name.
It's on my list of names to eventually use for her character.
Angus always liked to hang around Dennis and Zuri, which was something Mia noticed and something that Dennis complained to her about. He didn't like having his little brother around when he was with his girlfriend. However, Zuri was sweet to him, and Dennis didn't want to upset her by telling Angus to get lost. Mia supposedly told the user who posted these things that Zuri and Dennis abruptly broke up in February with no prelude after Zuri went over to Dennis's to surprise him with a birthday gift, as he was born on the 20th. Zuri even dropped out of school. Mia tried to talk to her about it and reach out in case something was wrong, but Zuri was vague. She said that she never wanted to go to the Keeler's house again and that she felt guilty because she couldn't even look at Dennis. Mia concluded that Zuri must have cheated on Dennis, but said that it was odd as it wasn't in her character, and she got very upset and denied it when Mia asked if that was what happened. Possibly because of suggesting that she was unfaithful, Zuri stopped talking to Mia. Dennis, meanwhile, seemed different too. He was colder, more distant. While leaving film club after school, Mia once saw Dennis get into his car after he left the student government meeting, which ended at the same time as film club. Angus, for some reason, was still at school. He was trying to talk to Dennis, who was ignoring him, and when he started the car, Angus got in front of it to try and stop him from leaving without talking to him.
That's an ick. When people get in front of the car and put their hands on the hood of the car and go, "Stop! No! You must talk to me! We have to talk this through! We're brothers!" Come on, grow up. It is so gross.
It's so annoying. I've never liked that trope. Like, have some self-respect.
I hate that trope. A car is a very large object that is clearly being used as a method of escape. I feel like that's an implied boundary of I'm walking away. Whether that's healthy or not, because it depends situation to situation. Sometimes you really do need to talk through it and someone is just going off, but don't get in front of a car.
Yeah, it's not even, the boundary thing is the way more valid thing to be concerned about. For me, it's just like, you're so stupid. Why would you get in front of a car? And then there's the whole thing of like, well, but because they care so much, don't get
moving
in front of
vehicle,
a car.
Man.
There's no reason to get in front
and
of a car.
Cars are dangerous.
Don't do it.
Especially in such a heated moment, why would you want to get in front of the car of the person that is not happy with you?
Cars are dangerous.
Or even behind the car, or anywhere near the car.
I would not get in front of the car. Mm-mm. Yeah, that's the lesson of the day, kids. Do not get in front of a car that is moving.
I've done that once. No, but it was in a parking lot and it was really dark and a kid was crossing the road and hadn't caught up to his mom and the car didn't see the kid and was going to blow the stop sign and I jumped in front of the car. The car did not hit me. The car hit its brakes.
Okay, well that's extremely noble and good. So good on you. We can applaud your heroism, but that is not what we are talking about, and you know it.
My mom, like, held me by the shoulders and went, "I don't know whether to pat you on the back or strangle you, because don't jump in front of cars, but you did the right thing."
I go in front of cars all the time, but not on purpose. I just forget to look both ways.
Oh, Alex.
I have been dragged out of the street by multiple human beings throughout my life.
Oh my god.
But to be fair, I have also gotten in the street on purpose, on behalf of a child. I do a program through my school that works with children, as a mentorship thing, and my kid, my mentee, her drawing, like, blew out of her hands into the street, and she went to go get it while there was a bus coming, so I, like, jumped into the street, and I yoinked her up and jumped back out of the street, so I was fine, but...
Yeah. I mean, you're here.
Yeah. I did not get hit by a bus, everyone.
Cheers! I love when you don't get hit by buses. That's actually one of my favorite things.
Thank you. Unfortunately, neither did Angus.
That's a shame.
Mia couldn't hear what was being said from the distance she was at, but she recalled, quote, "I thought Dennis was going to run him over. He kept jerking the car forward and Angus would take a step back a bit and the engine kept revving. End quote. Seeing this, she said she called out to Dennis and ran toward the car and the scene between the brothers stopped. Dennis let her in the car when she asked for a ride home, but he didn't let Angus in, even when Mia insisted that wasn't fair. Quote, he was his brother, I thought, and he was 15. He didn't have a car. How was he supposed to get home? But Dennis left anyway. He was silent, just driving. I finally asked him what was going on, but I kind of already suspected Zuri might have cheated on Dennis with his brother. Which, sophomore, gross. But I suppose everyone liked Angus. He was better looking than Dennis, and not, you know, the student government treasurer. But Dennis just said it wasn't any of my business, so I dropped it. End quote. That was all that was allegedly garnered from Mia. At this point in the timeline, the user on WebSleuths notes that Zuri moved away not long after the breakup with her family to Montana, where they got a much nicer house. Then, Dennis graduated and packed his bags for college, cutting off contact with his parents and Angus and moving to New York for school. Not much is known about Dennis's life in college, just that Angus went to see him the night he kidnapped Charlie Easton, but Dennis refused to speak to him when he showed up at his door. He graduated from NYU with honors and a degree in economics. No one can find any real mention of Dennis in connection with his family after he moved out. After Angus's arrest, his parents tried to claim that he was innocent and advocated to the public for justice for him, plus they ran a crowdsourcing campaign to raise money for his bail, which they were never able to meet. Dennis didn't contribute to either project. Many tried to get in contact with Dennis himself, but he only ever said one confirmed thing to the press, that Angus, quote, got what was coming to him, end quote. The theory surrounding Angus and his life often suggests that he did something to Zuri or that she cheated on Dennis with Angus. Either way, the result was the same. Dennis never spoke to Angus again. Did that make him into a worse person, one capable of kidnapping Charlie Easton? Was he already that bad person? Who's to say? Perhaps only Dennis, who continues to keep his silence. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. Send in your thoughts, theories, questions, and comments to untruecrimethepodcast@gmail.com, all lowercase, for a chance to be featured at the end of the season during our Q&A. Bye!
Goodbye!